This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. This week, we're going to be talking about Afghanistan and the next steps for the United States. During the presidential campaign, Barack Obama repeatedly called for a new focus on Afghanistan.
Troop levels need to increase, and I've, for at least a year now, have called for two additional brigades, perhaps three. I think it's very important that we unify command more effectively to coordinate our military activities. But military alone is not going to be enough. The Afghan government needs to do more, but we have to understand that the situation is precarious and urgent.
That's Barack Obama on CBS News during a visit to Afghanistan in July. Today we're going to talk about the current situation in the country and its future with Sarah Chase. You may recognize her name. She's a former NPR reporter who left reporting to start a cooperative business in the southern Afghan city of Kandahar, where she lives. It's not far from the Pakistan border, and it's a center of activity for the Taliban. Sarah Chase says conditions in Kandahar are terrible. There's violence nearly every day. She told me that in recent weeks, a civilian advisor to the U.S. military was set on fire. A suicide car bomb exploded downtown, and men attacked Afghan schoolgirls with acid.
As much as we might be more aware of attacks against foreigners, the real victims are the Afghan population, and they're reaching very deep down into the population. So it might be like a baker who sold some bread to a policeman who had a checkpost nearby. That baker might get, and I know of a case, kidnapped and killed. And what that does is it frightens everyone. In other words, if they kill a governor, that's disturbing and distressing, but a lot of ordinary people will continue to go about their lives because they say, well, that's an important person in the government, and I'm just, you know, an ordinary guy. Whereas as they reach deeper down into the population, it absolutely terrifies people. So I see a lot of people drawing back from any involvement with the current government or even development assistance. They don't want to receive it anymore because it makes targets out of them.
As local people in Kandahar see more and more attacks like this by the Taliban, attacks like you're describing, what's their view of the central government as this is going on?
Well, you know, their view of the government, both central and provincial and local, has been deteriorating markedly since, I would say, late 2002. And it's not just because of the government's incapacity to protect them. It's that the government is so hostile to their interests, that is to say, shakes them down, brutalizes them, exercises arbitrary power like confiscating land. You have vast tracts of public land or semi-public land being arrogated and distributed to cronies. You've got bribes that you have to pay for everything. You know, a death certificate. I know someone whose father was blown up in a suicide bombing who had to pay a bribe in order to get a death certificate for his father. I mean, that kind of thing at every level of government. And the people are just, they just can't stand it anymore. And so, you know, sometimes people will deliberately turn a blind eye to Taliban activities. Sometimes they'll help them out because they're so frustrated.
Let's look forward, Sarah, in terms of U.S. policy. Barack Obama has talked about sending maybe 15,000 more U.S. troops to Afghanistan on top of the about 30,000 U.S. troops who are there now. Would that, do you think, have a practical effect there where you are in Kandahar?
I think more troops are definitely needed. And, you know, this shouldn't really be seen as some massive militarization of the situation in Afghanistan because the number of troops on the ground is just pitifully low compared to any major post-conflict nation-building situation that the United States has been involved in, lower even than Haiti in the 1990s. Now, I do think that more troops alone won't do the job. There have to be some changes in the way that they approach their job. In other words, rather than seeing their objective as kind of hunt and kill bad guys, they have to understand that primarily they need to be protecting the population. And that means a certain amount of redeployment of troops toward population centers rather than sending them way out in the middle of nowhere to supposedly interdict rat lines and things like that, where they're both vulnerable and not very useful in protecting the population. And I also think there are some civilian approaches that really need to be stepped up. One of those is mentoring civilian officials. The international community has been very successful in mentoring the Afghan army. And it seems interesting to me that it never occurred to anyone that, well, Afghans might need mentoring to become professional and effective soldiers or officers. But what about mentoring to become effective and responsive mayors? governors or district commissioners or, you know, heads of public health departments and things like that. And I mean that on the provincial as well as the national level.
And what about negotiating with the Taliban themselves? I mean, the Afghan government is talking to elements from the Taliban that it considers to be reconcilable. Barack Obama is said to be open to supporting those discussions. Is that a good idea?
I think this is a really bad policy for President-elect Obama to get involved with. And the reason for that is I don't think that negotiating with the Taliban addresses the problem. In other words, I don't see any difficulties in eventually interacting with people who once were considered enemies. That's what maturity in politics is all about. But the point is that the Taliban do not represent the Afghan people. They are not an indigenous kind of uprising. You know, what we're looking at is not a people that rejects democracy or isn't ready for democracy, but rather a people that is actually unsatisfied with the amount of democracy that we have brought them and actually feels that we have obstructed the flourishing of democracy in a lot of ways. And they've been really, I think, occasionally siding with the Taliban, because not many do, but those who do, it's really a protest vote. And I just don't see how bringing the Taliban to the table addresses the fundamental problem.
At the same time, the commander of U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan, General David McKiernan, has said, look, the solution is going to be political, not military. He said, we're not going to run out of bad guys there that want to do bad things in Afghanistan. Don't you need to engage them?
I think the solution is political also, but I think it's a different political solution, which is to say you pressure those people who are currently holding power at all levels in Afghanistan on behalf of the Afghan people to be more responsive to those people. And then you will see all of these quote-unquote reconcilable Taliban will come over anyway, because they will then have a government that they can bear to live under.
Sarah Chase, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
That's former NPR reporter Sarah Chase. She now runs a cooperative business in Kandahar, Afghanistan.